Not too long ago, I received a letter from a lady who used to be a member of our church and continued to be a part through In Touch. And the letter was rather lengthy, and she explained some problems in her marriage and that she had since then gotten involved in an affair. And the affair had gone on for a long time, and finally the guilt got to her, and she confessed it rather abruptly to her husband, even to her children, and things kind of came undone for a while. But eventually her husband decided to forgive her, and they are in the process of rebuilding a very, very, what would have been a broken marriage and a broken home. And in the letter she said something interesting. She says, "Andy, I've come to grips with the fact that God has forgiven me." She said, "I've even been able to accept the forgiveness of my husband. But how will I ever, ever, ever forgive myself for what I've done to my family?" A man came in to see me not too long ago, and he'd gotten into some trouble at work, embezzled some money, had hurt a lot of people, had impacted some men's ability to retire. Because of his crime, he had spent some time in prison. He was out. During that time, he became a Christian. And as we talked, he said to me much the same thing. "Andy, I've come to grips with the fact that God has forgiven me. I've done everything I can to make it up to the people I've hurt. But how can I ever, ever, ever forgive myself?" If the truth were known, and if we were to go person by person, row by row, it would be evident that all of us have things in our past we wish we could go back and undo. Relationships, periods of our life, a weekend, a night, a decision, a financial commitment. All of us have things we wish we could go back in our life and undo. Perhaps when you got into the situation, it didn't seem wrong at the time. In fact, maybe it seemed like the thing to do at the time. Everybody was doing it. But now as you look back at the pain it's caused you and others, you wish, you wish, you wish you could undo it. And how will you ever forgive yourself? Perhaps at the time you knew it was the wrong thing to do, but you had no idea the consequences would be what they would be. You had no idea that you would hurt the people that you've hurt. And you wish, you wish, you wish you could go back and undo what you've done. If only you could have that night over, that weekend, that week, that period of your life over again. Perhaps you weren't a believer at the time, and at the time you didn't even feel guilty for what you did. But now you've become a Christian, and you've seen your past the way that God has seen it, and now you're overwhelmed with guilt, and you wish you could go back and undo it. And you just can't seem to put the past behind you. Or maybe you are a believer, and so there's the double whammy of having hurt other people, done some wrong things, and at the same time you knew that you made a mistake. You knew at the time that you were sinning against God and against other people and even against yourself. And how do you put that behind you? And try as you may, you just can't put the past behind. Maybe it was something that you were sure nobody would find out, and they found out. Maybe it was something that you were sure nobody would find out, and they still haven't found out. But you know, and you're carrying it. And you know maybe in some vague sort of sense that God has forgiven you, and you've done the best you can to patch things up with the people around you, but it haunts you. It comes back to you over and over and over, and you're just not able to make peace with the past. You're just not able to put it behind you. At times you go for a long time, but then you see a person that reminds you. At times you go for a long time without dealing with it, and then there's some circumstances that bring it back. For many of you, maybe you were able to put it behind you until you were engaged and the past came up again. You were married and all of a sudden it hit you like a freight train. You held that first child and again you were sideswiped by the past as it came back to haunt you. And things you thought you had dealt with and put behind once and for all, they're back again, like ghosts that haunt you. And you ask the question, how can I move beyond this? And is it possible that I could really, really, really be free of the past and to move on? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Forgiving ourselves. You see, it becomes a problem because when we don't forgive ourselves, we become angry with ourselves. And we carry within us what has been called free-floating anger. We're just sort of always a little bit angry. It's right below the surface, and the least little thing spills out on the people around us. I've done a lot of counseling. More counseling than I ever wanted to do. More in counseling than I probably should have ever been involved in. And for years I spent my time trying to make people feel better and put band-aids on things and kind of help them out and say nice things and, you know, look at the bright side and, you know, all those sorts of things. And I've realized through the years that until a person is really able to deal with the fundamental thing of forgiving themselves, then regardless of how hard you try, regardless of how much you try to be someone who's pleased, and no matter how hard you try to get along with people, as long as there's this free-floating anger that has been stirred up by your inability to deal with the past and to forgive yourself, there are some things that just won't ever change. People can try and try and try to please you, but you will be unpleasable. People will try and try and try to make you happy, but you're just going to continue to be an unhappy person. And you can arrange your circumstances and control the people in your life, but things aren't ever going to be the way they need to be as long as you hold on to the anger that you hold against yourself. As long as you are unable to put the past behind you, to make peace with your past, to forgive yourself, and to move on. A person who's unable to forgive themselves eventually transfers those feelings onto God. I don't like me, God probably doesn't like me. I'm disappointed in me, God's probably disappointed in me. I don't think I'm such a good person, God probably doesn't think I'm such a good person. I know He loves me because, you know, He's God, He's supposed to do that, but I don't think He likes me very much. I'm certainly not somebody that God would really want to get close to after all. Look at what I've done. And not only do we transfer those feelings to God, we transfer them to other people. If there's something in your life that you're so disappointed in yourself about that you can hardly believe that you would ever do something like that, then when you meet other people who've done the same thing, you will begin to transfer your anger to them. That's why for some of you, there are two or three sins that when you see those in the lives of other people, you overreact. You become very critical, very judgmental. And the reason is not them, the reason is you. Because you're mad at yourself. And anything that reminds you of your mistake, of your sin, of your wandering, it stirs up those old feelings and you find within yourself that temper, that anger, that edge to your personality that makes everybody walk on eggshells, that thing that causes you to lose your temper or lose your perspective so easily. All of that oftentimes is caused by our inability to let go of our own failures, to let go of the things that we've done that disappointed ourselves. It all stems oftentimes from our inability to forgive ourselves. So today I want to talk about making peace with your past, forgiving yourself. Now there are a couple of things that I think stand in the way of us doing that. One of them is a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding about the nature of forgiveness in general. I again talk to lots and lots of Christians and I say, have you forgiven him? Have you forgiven her? Have you forgiven yourself? And the Christian answer is, yes, I forgave him. I go, no, you didn't. How can you tell? Because when you forgive somebody, you don't say it like that. You say it different. You didn't forgive them. And there's oftentimes this thinking that if I say the words, I forgive you, then it's a done deal. If I say the words, I forgive myself, then it's a done deal. But saying I forgive you, saying words, has very little to do with actual forgiveness. So oftentimes there's confusion about the nature of forgiveness. And as long as you don't understand forgiveness, it will be impossible to forgive yourself. That's why you'd sit here today, and if we were talking one-on-one, you'd say, Andy, I've tried to forgive myself. Well, let me just give you sort of a commercial announcement of where we're headed in this sermon. You don't try to forgive someone. You either do or you don't. Okay? You either have or you haven't, but you don't try to. And the fact that you would even say, I've tried to forgive myself, is evidence that you may be among the majority of people, you're a little bit confused about the nature of forgiveness. Let me explain it this way. Whenever anyone hurts you, whenever anybody sins against you, there is always a sense in which they have taken something from you. When someone hurts you or sins against you, there is always a sense in which they have taken something from you. They have created a debtor relationship with you. An easy example is if someone steals money from you. Obviously, in order to make that relationship right, they need to give the money back. You would say, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. And if our relationship is going to be right again, you must give me what you took from me, and then we'll be even. But it happens emotionally as well. A wife criticizes her husband in public, and she takes from him respect. Honey, you owe me respect. You owe me. A husband walks out on his children, and the children grow up with a sense of debt. Dad, you owe me a dad at home. You owe me love. You owe it to me to be my father. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. Whenever there's hurt, whenever there's pain, whenever there's sin, there is a debt that is created. You have a great idea. You share it with your boss. Your boss gets up in front of the group and claims the idea as his own. And he has stolen from you recognition. He has stolen from you credit. And the only way to make that relationship right again would be for him to get up in front of the same group and say, it wasn't my idea, it was his idea. And in doing so, they give the credit back to you, and you're even. Whenever there's hurt, whenever there is pain, there is always debt. There's always debt. And in order to forgive, we must recognize that principle, because forgiveness has to do with debt. But here's the problem. You see, if I were to steal respect from you, it's possible that I could get up and give that respect back to you. If I were to steal acceptance from you, I could turn right back around and maybe give you that acceptance back. It's possible on a physical and even an emotional level to pay a person back. But here's the catch. When you have sinned against yourself, or when you have caused there to be a debt relationship within yourself, how do you pay yourself back? How do you make things right with yourself? And this is why you're caught in the loop. And this is why so many Christians and non-Christians are caught in this trap. And here's what happens. They've disappointed themselves. They've sinned against themselves, so to speak. They've created a debt relationship with themselves. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I would stoop so low. And here's the problem. The only way to pay yourself back is not to have done it. You see, you can make things right with people all day long, but still you live with that disappointment. Still you live with that sense of loss. How could I have done this to me? And the only way to pay the debt off would be to go back and not have done what you've done. And of course, that's impossible. And so you're stuck. And round and round and round you go. And you do everything you can to pay yourself back. You work harder and promise God more and give more and get involved and you teach and you build houses for people without houses and you give money to the poor and you just do all these things some way, somehow, to pay yourself back. And the reason when you jump through all those hoops, the reason that you feel just the way you did to begin with is you're trying to pay yourself back and you can't pay yourself back. Because the only way to be even with yourself again is to have undone what you did. And that is impossible. And so you're stuck. And you're a driven person. And you're an angry person. But you're stuck. You're trapped in the loop. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a friend named Randy. When Randy's father died, he left him a Rolex watch that he had had since Randy could remember. And this was one of Randy's most precious possessions. Not because it's a Rolex watch, but because it belonged to his father. Now let's say for illustration's sake, one day Randy and I are somewhere and Randy takes his watch off and I think, boy, I'd like to have a Rolex watch. Now, I don't know where Randy got it. I just know that Randy has a Rolex watch, and I don't, and I'd like to have one. So I slip it in my pocket. Randy says, "Where's my watch?" I said, "I don't know. Let's look for it." So we look and look and look, and of course, it's in my pocket. Well, we take off, and I start wearing that watch, and I think that's a pretty nice watch. One day, I'm at the gym exercising, and I throw my wallet and my watch in my gym bag and throw it in the locker, and of course, I don't have a lock. And I come back, and my gym bag's gone, along with my wallet and Randy's Rolex watch. Well, I'm pretty disappointed about losing that watch, but since I stole it anyway, it probably serves me right, so I just sort of forget about it. And then one day, I hear that Randy knows I stole his watch. Uh-oh. So I see Randy, and you know, I want to make things up with Randy, so what do? I say, "Randy, I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that I stole your watch. And Randy, I want to apologize for stealing your watch. And Randy, I know it was an expensive watch, but if you'll give me time, I will work and save my money and I will buy you another Rolex watch." And he says to me, "Andy, don't worry about it. You see, it's not the kind of watch. It was where I got the watch. It was my father's watch. He left it to me. Don't worry about it." And you see, I walk away trapped, don't I? How can I ever pay him back? I can't pay him back. Why? The only way to pay him back was not to have stolen it to begin with. Because it's gone now. And I can't not have stolen it because I stole it. That's the past. I'm trapped. He's forgiven me. But how do I ever get back to where I was to begin with? You see, I'm trapped. I'm stuck. It's over. I'm caught in this endless loop of trying to pay myself back. I'm going to be real nice to Randy. I'm going to pay for his meals. I'm going to. But the only way to get back to where I was to have undone what I did. And you can't undo what you did. So you're stuck. And that's why some of you are stuck. That's why some of you are so angry, disappointed with yourself, and wondering if you'll ever move beyond it. And the good news is this. One of the number one reasons to become a Christian, one of the greatest things about being a Christian, is believe it or not, God has provided a way out of this dilemma. Now, let me say something to a select group of you. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, let me tell you something about you. You see, even though you may not put much faith in this book, the Bible, even though you're really not sure about God and Jesus and religion and all that, you've had some bad experiences, you're just sort of looking. You know, you're here today because somebody dragged you in here. They may have bribed you with lunch, or you're watching on television because somebody said, "Watch this," or you were flipping through and wondered, "What is this about?" You're on the outside looking in. But this you know, There are things in your past that you wish you could undo. There are things in your past you wish you could go back and change. There are things in your past, even as an unbeliever, you feel guilty about. There are periods of your life you wish you could redo and undo because of the hurt you've caused people, your children or your ex-wife or your husband or whoever it might be. There are things you wish you could go back and undo. And let me tell you something about you. The reason you wish you could go back and undo them is because God has put His law in your heart. You see, the reason you feel guilty is not because you made up a bunch of rules and then you broke one of your own rules. See, if you have just broken one of your own rules, then guess what you should do if you feel guilty? Change the rules. Decide that wasn't bad after all. In fact, that was good. And all the guilt would be gone. Try that. If you feel guilty and you don't think there's a God, well, just change the rules. Decide that what you did wasn't bad and see if that relieves the guilt. And it won't. And here's why. Because you didn't make up the rules. God made up the rules. And God put His law in your heart, and there is no escape. But here's the good news. The guilt and the crud and the pain and the regret in your life is the key to finding Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the key. In fact, it's like thinking this way. It's as if you're on a chain, and you're on one end of the chain, and you wish you could get rid of that chain because it reminds you of guilt in the past. On the other end of the chain is the Savior who can set you free. One of the best things that ever happened to you as an unbeliever is that you are dealing with the guilt of your past, because it's an indication that there is a God, there is a moral lawgiver that stands outside of you. And the same lawgiver that has provided the law that has condemned you provided a way out as well. So I want you to listen carefully as we look at God's solution to the dilemma of dealing with our past. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It's only as we understand forgiveness from God's perspective. It's only as we understand forgiveness from God's perspective that we can understand how to forgive ourselves. As long as we hold the debt over our own heads, there's no solution. There's no way out. I want you to look carefully at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go verse by verse for about three verses. We're going to pick this thing apart, look at some special words. And here is the key. Now, I want to go so slow and be so careful that you would be able to go back to this passage later on and understand how this applies to being free from the past. So I'm going to be a little laborious about it, but hang with me and let's see what we can discover together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. This is great stuff. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive. This is important. You know what he says? While you were hopelessly separated from God, not when you made a move toward God or rededicated your life or cleaned your life up or had good intentions, no. While you were completely separated from God, with no hope and with no intention of even moving toward God, when you were completely separated from God, here's the good news, God made a move toward you. That's good news. Not after I'm going to clean my life up and, ask these people to forgive me and get... No. While you were completely separated from God, God made a move towards you. And it says that while you were in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, and this is a figure of speech that Paul uses to describe the fact that while you were still a slave to sin, before you had been removed from the power of sin, because as a Christian, we are no longer slaves to sin. We may choose to sin, but we choose freely. We're no longer slaves to sin. But Paul says this, while you were completely lost, while you were a slave to sin and under the penalty of sin, God made His move towards you. And what did He do? He made you alive with Christ. Well, what does that mean? He tells us. He forgave us all our sins. How many of our sins? He forgave you of the sins that you committed against other people. He forgave you for the sins that you committed against Him. And He forgave you of the sins you committed against yourself. Now, what does that mean, you forgave us, Lord? I mean, we already know. We've already tried to, I forgive you. That doesn't work. What does it mean to forgive? And He brings into the discussion this debt scenario that we described earlier on. Look what He says, verse 14. Having, that word having is the means. He's given us the means by which He forgave. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. having canceled the written code. Now, if you've been a member here very long, you've heard my dad describe what this means, but let me describe it one more time for those of you who have forgotten or who are new to our church. This is a wonderful word picture of what happened and what forgiveness is about. In these days, if I were to have debt that I owed you, let's say I owed you some money, in order for us to establish that legally, what we would do is get an attorney to type up some paper that says, Andy owes you X amount of money. And then once that document was finished, I would sign it. And as long as you had that document with my signature, that meant you could hold it over me in a court of law. He signed right here. Andy agreed. He owes me this much money. In the first century, it was a little bit different. Instead of signing a document, what would happen is the person who owed the money would actually write out how much they owed and the terms of the agreement and sign it. In other words, instead of having their signature on paper, you would have in their own handwriting everything they owed. If I owed you a lot of money, I would write, I, Andy Stanley, owe such and such and such and such amount of money, and I agree to pay it in these terms, and this is the debt, and here's the date I plan to do it by, and I would sign my name. And instead of just having my signature, you would have in my own handwriting everything that I owed you. And so what Paul does, he picks up on this thing that was very common in their culture, and he says this. There was a sense in which God had a document that had all of the debt that you owed each other, all the debt that you owed him, and all the debt you owed yourself, and it was all written down. And that he took that certificate of debt, he took it and he nailed it to the cross. And in doing so, what he said is this, debt canceled. You don't owe me. You don't owe each other. You don't owe yourself. All debt has hereby been canceled. You don't owe me. Look what he says. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. You know what this means? You don't have to forgive yourself because yourself has already been forgiven. You don't have to forgive yourself because yourself has already been forgiven. That forgiving ourselves and then moving beyond our past and having peace with the past is not so much about forgiveness. It's about accepting the fact that Jesus Christ at the cross stamped on your certificate of debt, canceled. You don't owe me. You don't owe the people around you. You don't owe yourself. All the debt has been canceled. It's over. You say, does that mean that I don't have to go back and try to pay people back? No, no, that's a whole different subject. We're to love each other. We're to submit to each other. I mean, we're to seek and establish relationships, but not from the vantage point of paying people back for the sins we've committed against them. Because all your sin has been forgiven. You don't owe anybody anything in regards to sin. You don't owe me, you don't owe God, you don't owe yourself. Now, why would he do that? Because he knows what we already know. That you can't forgive yourself because you can't possibly go back and undo what you've done. That you are caught in an endless cycle of guilt and an endless cycle of chaos and tension and frustration and anger. You're caught in the loop unless you accept the fact that what you're trying to pay back has already been paid. And that dealing with the past is accepting the fact and renewing your mind to the truth that all your debt has been canceled. Let me put it this way. At the cross, you lost the right to condemn yourself. Paul said it this way in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't condemn you. The devil can't condemn you. I can't condemn you. And the best news of all is this. You better quit condemning yourself. Why? Because your debt has been canceled. God looks at you and he says, you don't owe me. You don't owe me. And you don't even owe yourself. Because all those things you've been holding against yourself, all that debt that you've been trying to repay yourself, I have stamped canceled. You don't owe me. Whew. Isn't that good news? You don't have to forgive yourself. Yourself's already been forgiven. It's a matter of renewing your mind of that truth. You say, now, wait a minute. Okay, you know, that makes sense. You know, I can understand that. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure the verse out, Andy. But I've got these memories. I've got these thoughts. I've got these things that come back and they haunt me at the most inopportune times. They just loom up before me and I'm just overwhelmed with guilt, or I'm overcome with anger. I'm beginning to see the connection. What do I do with that? How do I get away from the past? Here's the best news. You don't have to run from your past. You don't have to avoid your past. You don't have to try not to think about your past. What you need to do is to tear down the old memorials you've built to your past and to build some new memorials. You know what a memorial is, right? Memorial is a building or something that reminds you of somebody or something in the past. If you go to Washington, you see the Washington Memorial, and that reminds us of who? Good, Washington. And then there's the Lincoln Memorial, and it reminds us of Abraham Lincoln and all the things that he stood for, all the things that he did. There's the Vietnam Memorial, reminds us of Vietnam and all the men and the women who died in that war. There are memorials, and these memorials are things that we see, and they remind us of the past. Now, here's what has happened. As you have become a Christian and as you have grown as a Christian, without meaning to, you have established memorials in your mind. And they, every time you bump up against one of those memorials, every time you bump up against the past mentally, it reminds you of your failure. It reminds you of your unworthiness. It reminds you of how angry God must be at you. It reminds you of a whole lot of things that really aren't even true anymore. And the only way to appropriate the forgiveness of God, the "you don't owe me forgiveness of God," the only way to appropriate that is to begin to tear down those old memorials and to establish new ones. You see, your failure no longer has to be a reminder of your unworthiness and your inability to love and your unworthiness in terms of receiving love. Your failures must now remind you of the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your failures must now become memorials to the goodness and the forgiveness of God. That your past and your failures must now become memorials to what God has done and is doing and will do in your life. And as you begin to renew your mind, I want to make you a promise. Even emotionally, you will begin to change. And emotionally, you will be set free. Because there is nothing more liberating than forgiveness. Than coming to grips with the fact that what I have held over my head has been canceled. That I don't have to forgive myself. I am a forgiven person. That all the debt has been canceled. I don't owe him. I don't owe you. I don't owe anybody in regards to sin. Because when Jesus died, he took all of my sin. Let me tell you where I learned that. Sitting right here in this chair. So I remember the second, third, and fourth sermon I preached. And sitting here looking out here at all of y'all going, "Oh my." And the devil whispering in my ear, "What in the world do you think you're doing talking to all these people? Who in the world do you think you are? After what you've done, what right do you have to stand up there and tell them what the Lord thinks? What right do you have?" And it was then that I began to discover that I no longer had to run from my past. I didn't have to pretend like it didn't happen. I don't have to downplay it. That I can face it and say, "Devil, you know what? That's not all I did. Let me tell you about some other things that are even worse than that." Because you know what they remind me of? They remind me of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where all of my debt was canceled. I've gotten into the habit of when the devil reminds me of my past, of reminding him of his future. Because, amen. Because you see, at the cross, your future was established. It was determined. It's forever. And his future was established. It was determined. It's forever. It is certain. And there's no reason in this world, as a forgiven man or woman or teenager, single adult or married adult or senior adult, whatever you are, there is no reason in the world for you to be afraid of your past. There's no reason in the world for you to have to avoid it or just try not to think about it. Because at the cross, all condemnation was removed. And that you no longer have a right to condemn yourself. Because the judge, the king, the holy God, the Lord of lords, said, "I who have the highest standard there is, I who am holiness and who am purity, I have decided that you are forgiven. You no longer have any debt. It's gone. It's canceled. It's over. Accept that. And move on." But you don't have to forgive yourself. Because yourself has already been forgiven. And the question is, will you take the time and make the effort to renew your mind, to dare to tear down some old memorials? When you bump into the past, say, "Yeah, I did that, and I did worse, and I'm capable of even worse. But the fact is, that no longer reminds me of me, it reminds me of Jesus. It no longer reminds me of me, it reminds me of the fact that Christ died on the cross and paid for my sins, that He accepted me, that I am lovable, that even with all that stuff I did, I am a lovable person. I am an acceptable person. I am a person that's worthy of a relationship with Holy God because of what Jesus Christ did. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the reminder. When I was at Georgia State University, I had a friend. I still have a friend, but we got close there. His name is Monty. Monty had some problems with his parents that kicked him out, and he came to live with us. So every day I would drive Monty to school, and Monty would share his insights from the Bible, which were unusual. In fact, I would find myself often saying, "Monty, I've never thought of that, and neither has anybody else." That's sort of how Monty was. Monty's in the ministry today, doing a great job, wonderful guy. But I'll never forget something that happened. One day, a group of us were at the Urban Life cafeteria there at Georgia State, eating breakfast as we did almost every morning. And I stood in line, as I always did, and got my green plastic tray with all little holes in it for stuff, and got my food, and was coming up to the cash register, had my wallet out, and the lady said, "You don't owe for your breakfast this morning." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You don't have to pay." I said, "Oh yeah, I do." I thought she was confused. I started arguing with this lady. She said, "No, you don't have to pay for your breakfast." Now, she didn't say my breakfast had been paid for. She just kept saying, "You don't have to pay, you don't have to pay, you don't have to pay." And I'm standing there holding up the line with this money going, "Take my money," you know? It was this big, it just sort of caught me off guard. And as I'm arguing with this woman, I look past her and there's Monty over there against the wall looking at me with this big old grin on his face, you know? And I realized what had happened. So I took my tray and sat down. I'll never forget him sitting across the table with that big goofy grin. He said, "Isn't that just like God?" I said, "What?" He said, "He forgives us of all our sin, and we just stand there and argue with Him." I thought, boy, that's right, isn't it? You see, friends, it's over. It's really over. You're forgiven. You don't owe. Debt canceled. Get out of here. You know, it's done. And the only way to have peace with those failures is not to run from them, to bring them around and face them and say, "Wow, I did that." And that is no longer going to be a memorial to my failure. But this is now a memorial to the goodness and the grace and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know the other thing that'll drag you down and keep you from dealing with this? Not only a misunderstanding about forgiveness, but your pride. See, let's face it, there's some things we've done and we can't believe that we would do that. Now, I know, I can understand you doing it, you know, but not me. I'm better than that. That's below me. I knew better. I wasn't raised to do those kinds of things. That's, you know, that's somebody else. That's somebody in a different state, in a different country, from a different background. Not me. I can't believe that I would do something like that. You know what part of dealing with your past is? It's coming to grips with this. Not only did you do that, you are capable of a lot worse. Other than the grace of God being a part of your life, there is no telling what you would have done. There's no telling what you will do. Because all of us are selfish and self-centered to the core. Well, I realized this the other day. This is way off the subject, but you know, selfishness is such a subtle thing. And I'm listening to the radio, and this guy was supposed to come fix our air conditioner. And I was mad at him. I mean, he was late. I mean, he was 2 hours late fixing my air conditioner. Now, when you say you're going to be here at 8:15, you better be here at 8:15 to fix my air conditioner because I don't want to be hot. Right? None of you can relate to that kind of thing. But you know, it was a big deal. My air conditioner was not working. And I'm listening to the radio about a 9-month-old that got thrown out of the house during the tornado and broke its leg. And a man was killed in the tornado. And they're shooting people in Bosnia. And the whole world's blowing up and going to hell. And I'm mad about my air conditioner. And that day I'm having lunch. It's like God went, "Boom, Andy, you expended emotion over your air conditioner getting fixed late 2 hours. You didn't give one rip of emotion about people who died, who don't have anything. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. So what's wrong with you? I'm so selfish. I'm so self-centered." And if you think for a minute that the sin you committed was below you, you don't understand yourself. You don't understand your depravity. You don't understand the grace of God that has been exhibited in your life just to keep you out of worse trouble than you've been in. You know, for some of you, it's time that you kind of lay down that pride. And realize that You shouldn't be so shocked about what you did. Because apart from the grace of God, there is no telling what you would do. And for you, that might be what it takes to finally accept God's forgiveness. Because maybe even though you've prayed the sinner's prayer, even though you're a Christian, maybe you've never really accepted that first part of that premise that we all say so quickly. I am a sinner. And boy, as a sinner, listen to this, as a sinner, I don't need a second chance. Because you know what sinners do the second time around? They sin. You know what they do the third time around? They sin. You know what they do the fourth and fifth? They just keep on sinning. You know what sinners need? They need a Savior. And folks, you don't need a second chance. You just need a Savior. And that's why Christ came, not to erase your past, but to help you reinterpret it as He hung on a cross and said, "You don't owe me. You don't owe each other. And you don't owe yourself. The debt has been completely canceled." Amen. If you're here today, and boy, that's good news if you could just hold on to it. Here's what you got to do. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to renew that mind. You need to bring those failures around full front. Look at them and say, "Yeah, I did it." And from here on out, that's no longer a reminder of what I've done. This, from here, this day forward, becomes a memorial to the goodness and the grace of God. That I will rejoice over my failures because they are a reminder. Listen to this. They are a reminder of the involvement of God in my life. And the forgiveness of God as seen on the cross. And if you will begin to renew your mind, those things that have haunted you, that you've run from, that you've been afraid of, that have been so negative, will become some of the most positive things in your life because they refocus your attention to your dependence on the goodness and the grace and the forgiveness of God. You don't have to forgive yourself because yourself has already been forgiven. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for protecting us from ourselves. Father, give us the grace to face our failure in the context of your love. For those here today, Father, who don't feel lovable, I pray that they'd be overwhelmed with a sense that they're lovable because you have already loved them. For those that feel like they failed so deeply that there's no way they can ever go on, I pray that you'd show them that you have already forgiven them. And that you are in their corner to help them go on. Lord, for those that are angry because of their past, because of their disappointment with themselves, Father, give them the grace to lay it down and to move on. Father, I pray that our behavior would be greatly impacted, not by an effort to change our behavior, but by our willingness to accept the truth. We are forgiven people. We don't owe you. Debt canceled. I pray that we would be free to love people even more. Those that have hurt us, Father. Those that were involved with us in our sin. That we would have an outpouring of love as we rejoice. As we rejoice at your goodness and grace and involvement in our lives. I pray that we would be set free so that we might set others free. In Jesus' name, amen.